Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure.
To you.
A boo.
Yep.
Another week of spoopy season.
Yay.
More Halloween films, more specters and ghoulies and
other words for ghosts.
Yeah. Can you tell I'm tired?
Yeah. I think we both are. I think this is going to be like the most mellow of podcasts that we've ever done.
Probably.
I'm just getting that vibe. Speaking of vibes, we're sitting here sipping on some hot cider.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels appropriate.
It's hot cider with a little something something thrown in.
Uh-huh. I got over here to Liv's house and fully dressed from work. And I was maybe in the door for like 30 seconds when I was like, bye, I'm putting on my PJs.
I'm still in my work clothes, but I intentionally wore, like, we got a message this morning.
You look very cozy today.
Yeah, it was like, dress professionally for pictures of the staff. And I was like, cool. So I put on my pants that look professional, but feel like leggings.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what we're wearing.
Everybody's got that great pair of pants.
Yep. Yeah, they're more comfortable than my actual pajamas.
Yep.
But, so that's today's vibe.
Yeah. It's a pretty good one. It was actually, like, nice fall weather out today.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. And I am really happy that we're here now. We're in the cool, cozy weather.
Yep. And our vibe, I feel like our vibe's pretty immaculate tonight for spooky season.
Yes, and you have done a marvelous job with, every time I come over here, Liv lights candles like we gonna have a seance or something. but I am super proud of your thematic decorations that I will let you describe after you announce the movie.
Absolutely.
Or you can do it now if you like.
Hey, you know, this is random, but you know what is disappointing? So, okay.
Life.
Wow,
sorry.
That got dark.
So there's a story there. There's a story
there. I hope so.
There is, and I won't go down the tangent for too long, but I'm not cheating on you, but you are not my only friend who I love watching terrible things with. I know. So you have met Kelsey.
Who is she?
Kelsey.
Oh, Kelsey.
You've
okay.
met Kelsey and you vibed with Kelsey.
Kelsey is just me, but taller and blonde.
Yes, basically. And Kelsey and I lived together for a time. And in that time, it grew very late one evening and we were scrolling through Netflix. And at this time, on Netflix was Shrek, the musical.
Oh, no.
And...
You said Shrek and I just nodded sagely, yep. Like a wise choice. And then you said the musical and I was like,
yeah,
like pearl clutch. Which, by the way, Lizzie is still wearing the pearls she wore to work her pajamas. And it is quite a look.
Pearls and PJs, baby. So long story short, we did not make it through the whole thing. It was really bad.
The only good scene that I've seen is the Farquaad.
Well, that's what I was about to say. So eventually what we did was we just started fast-forwarding to the scenes with Farquaad in them, which were all hilarious. But the point where we stopped was it got to a song from the perspective of all of the fairy tale creatures who were stuck in Shrek's swamp. The first line of the song is Pinocchio going, life is disappointing. And right at the end of that line, Kelsey stopped it and said out loud, I'm going to stop you right there. And that's where we stopped trying to make it through the plot.
Oh, no.
But every time something bad happens in our friendship, we just go, life is disappointing.
Oh,
let me stop you right there.
Oh, no.
It was really bad. Farquaad is amazing, and I would love to show you the Farquaad scenes at
I've seen one scene with him in it, and it was really funny.
The best one is his introduction, because his guards march around on stage for, like, a full 2 minutes just chanting, "Here he comes! He's on his way! He's outside the door! He is just outside! Here he is!" Like, they have a whole... It's incredible. So, yeah, there's some really funny scenes with him. But, yeah, other than that, no, it's really bad. But, sorry.
That's incredible.
That's why life is disappointing.
Okay, well...
Thank you for letting me go down that tangent. Please tell me what, right now, for you, is disappointing. Well,
what I was gonna say is, like... You know, sorry, my dog is here.
She's very snuggly right now, too.
She's very snuggly. Hey. She hurt herself this week, so she's being very snuggly. But anyways, she's fine, by the way. She's okay. She's just
sore. Got a little neck cramp.
But anyway, so, there's, I lost my train of thought. Hang tight. Hold on. It's here? Okay, seances.
Okay. Yes.
So, there were, like, these two sisters. There were these two sisters who were, like, really famous for their seances. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, I know about this.
And they, their actual talent, Zoe, you're ruining my seance story. Their actual talent was that they could just crack their toes really loudly.
Yeah, I heard about
them.
And so
people would think that there was, like, weird stuff happening, but it was just their freaking toes. And what's disappointing is I can't crack my toes, so how am I ever going to fake a seance?
Uh-huh.
Liz, like, how was that? Oh, there's a squirrel on the roof.
Oh, no, the squirrel is back.
So we got a bunch of pumpkins and put them outside like you do in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, there's four different kinds of pumpkins. And one of them is white. For whatever reason, that's the one that all of the squirrels are obsessed with. So from the front, it looks super cute. But from the back, the squirrels keep eating it.
I wonder... Oh, there it is. I wonder if they can hear. Gosh, shh, Zoe.
Zoe, it's time. It's time to stop.
Stop it. I wonder if they can
blanket over her.
You know what? I wonder if they can hear her when she's, like, growling and huffy, or if they just hear her when she barks. I kind of hope that they can hear her when she's just like.
Her little growls are my favorite.
Yeah, no, that worked. I just put this blanket over her.
Yeah,
and now
she's done.
She's done.
Yep.
We were having interesting conversations earlier, because I think one of the things that's been interesting about what we've been talking about this through this month is what scares us. And I've always told you that, like, I'm not so much bothered by, like, scary, like, monsters. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's never necessarily the thing itself that's scary. It's how much a movie is disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like movies that are disturbing or...
Define disturbing. Like, what does that look like for you?
It varies so much. I am much more likely to... Okay, so here's a good example. I just watched the... newest Halloween movie, or not newest, the one that came out in 2018.
Okay.
The Halloween movie with my folks this weekend, with older Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay.
And that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a murderer. Yeah, he's super, like, mm-hmm. cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and pretty creepy, but, like, he just walks around and stabs people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, you and I have such a different take on that.
If it were, like, I'm the guy who walks around and stabs people, and then I, like, rearrange their organs in my basement into a new person, and, like, it's basically things that are just so far on the crazy train.
Mm-hmm.
That I really don't enjoy. I don't know. I part of me feels like I can't really put it into words. But what we were talking about earlier was, you were asking me if I would like Penny Dreadful, and you were describing it, and you said, well, you told me you don't really like demonic things, which is typically true. I do not. And I said, well, that also depends, because, mm-hmm. like, if they're having seances and summoning demons, they're kind of asking for it. Like, you're expecting the demon to show mm-hmm. up. But, like, it's when they go into the house and suddenly the little girl is, like, walking around and being creepy and reciting Latin that I'm like, so, nope, no, they did not ask for that.
Yeah, I feel like you should never watch Paranormal Activity 3.
Absolutely not. I tried to watch the first one with friends, and I don't think I got all the way through it.
I didn't like the first one. Like, it's all right.
But that scared me.
Yeah. I saw them out of order, and to me, 3 is the scariest, not even necessarily because the things that happen in it are inherently the scariest, but because I felt the most attached to the family, mm-hmm. and so anything that happened to them felt like a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the first two Paranormal Activity movies, I mean, they spooked me while I was watching it, but it didn't really linger with me. But I still really want to show you The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor.
I will let you know.
I know that that's probably not going to be your jam.
Yeah.
But God, I want you to see it.
If you don't end up wanting to watch the film that I have planned next week, which I'm going to have kind of like a test run mm-hmm. for the film I have planned next week, if you don't end up wanting to watch that, there is a haunting movie that I've always wanted to watch, and I feel like it would work well on this channel.
What is it?
I have always wanted to watch The House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price, and it's the one that all Ooh. The gifts of the skeleton hand coming down on the lady's shoulder are from. Ooh. Like, it looks so bad.
I think that'd be really fun, though.
It would be tons of fun. So if we decide we want to do that, I'm perfectly
one
down.
One year, if we continue this, like, long into the future, at some point we need to do, because there's so many good Halloween movies to watch. Yeah. But at some point we need to just do, like, all the Hammer horror films, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Christopher Lee as Dracula.
Oh, yeah. I would like to watch that one.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love him.
So, speaking of Halloween films, what is your childhood classic that you are showing me this week?
So, this week we are watching Casper, the 1995 live-action adaptation. This movie is a personal favorite of mine. Shout out to my dad this week. When I was little, my dad did voices, so when we'd ride in the car, I would just tell him, like, do Mickey, and he'd do Mickey, do Goofy. But my favorite of all time was Stretch, who is the tallest, meanest ghost from Casper the Friendly Ghost. Speaking of which, if you go and check out our Instagram, the picture of our vibe for this week will show four little wooden carved cutouts of the four ghosts from Casper, including Casper, Stretch, Stinky, and Fatso, that my dad handmade for me for my birthday.
They look spectacular.
And they're the cutest things. He did such a good job. So they're precious. They'll be up if you want to see them on our Instagram. But yeah, he was very proud of them, and I'm very obsessed with them. He said he had to do Stretch over a couple times because he's so thin, he kept, like, having trouble.
Kept toppling.
Yeah, to make him, like, stand up and be tall enough.
He looks very well-balanced. Trials.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love them very much. But growing up, this was one of my favorite movies. And, okay, so do you remember, like, back in the day when computer games were on CD-ROMs?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a Casper game,
mm-hmm.
and it was, with the exception of the Muppet Treasure Island CD-ROM
which
game,
I never had,
that was my other favorite game, was the Casper game. So I watched the movie all the time, and I played that game all the time, even when it wasn't Halloween. This was a go-to movie for me. So let me tell you a little bit about it. So this film, like I said, came out in 1999, 1995. Okay. Thank you. This movie's weird. It has a 50% tomato score for critics and 49% for audiences.
Interesting.
No. Sorry, I like inhaled air too quickly.
You were shocked.
I was shocked. Nobody likes this movie. The critic consensus says a meandering, mindless family movie that frequently resorts to special effects and transparent sappiness. Also, just to kind of paint the picture, beneath, like, you know how there's this section where it's like films you might also like.
Oh, I love looking through this.
Like, the first one it recommends is the Brendan Fraser George of the Jungle.
You mean a masterpiece,
right? So, you know,
we're definitely that gonna watch
Stuart Little. Okay, and Sister Act 2 and Dr. Doolittle.
So. Okay, all of those give me vibes for this movie. I feel like George of the Jungle kind of knows what it is, though.
Yeah.
We're totally going to watch George of the Jungle, by the way.
Hell yeah.
But, like, if you were to put this down in front of me and be like, what movie gives you the same energy as this, I probably would have picked Stuart Little.
I like this much better than Stuart Little. Like, I remember watching Stuart Little as a kid and liking it okay, mm-hmm. but, like, to me, this is just, like, decidedly a better film. But, you know, I'll leave that to your discretion. So this film stars Bill Pullman, who was in...
Yep.
You remember him?
Yep.
What is that movie he's in with Sandra Bullock? While You Were Sleeping. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got Kathy Moriarty. It's got Eric Idle.
He's one of the ghost voices, right?
No, he's like the evil henchman to the bad lady. And then probably the most famous person to come out of this is a very young Christina Ricci.
Yes.
So she's basically our main character. She's Kat. And then, of course, there is Casper, voiced by Malachi Pearson. I have no idea who that is. I don't know if he has done... His picture's not on here. It doesn't look like he's done... It looks like he's done... He's done Casper, basically. He was on an episode of Full House and an episode of Malcolm in the Middle, and then he did Casper. Mm. So that's about it. But yeah, I really like this movie a lot. It's just a good, fun one. And I'll tell you more about some of the things that I really like about it. I feel might be spoilery, and I don't remember how much you know about it. So,
well, if I may, go ahead and share what I know about it. And this
okay,
will,
yeah, yeah. What are you expecting?
We'll range into some spoiler territory.
Okay.
So, my brother, who still lives at home with mom and dad, has some special needs. He is watching, like, ABC Freeform all the time. And in the month of October, I'd say probably 50% of the time that I'm in the room with him and the TV is on, it's on Casper. Like, it's just on all the time. So I, like, see little flitting bits and pieces of it.
Uh-huh.
So what I know about it, I know that Bill Pullman and Christina Ricci, he's her dad.
Yes.
And they're chill with the ghosts. Like, they live in the house with the ghosts, I think.
He's, like, a paranormal investigator.
Okay.
And he buys the house and moves into it with the express intention of trying to prove that ghosts are real.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. It's been a while since I've
been. But I know that they're, like, hanging out with ghosts for a lot of it. So,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they're very aware of the ghosts.
Yeah. I know nothing about the bad guys in this movie.
Okay.
But probably the biggest spoiler I know is for the end... And I know that there is a moment that while Casper doesn't stop being a ghost, he gets like, I'm a real boy!
Yeah.
And floats with Christina Ricci. And the main reason why I know this is that for many girls, this was like their awakening.
It was...
I missed Casper. I feel like my Casper was the live action Peter Pan in that like 2001, 2002. Loved that movie
growing
up. I'm sure
you're gonna make me watch it at some
probably, but I also don't remember it very well. So I feel like I remember it well, but I'm sure that I will watch it differently having not watched it in probably 10 or 15 years. But no, that Peter Pan, yeah, suddenly I was like, oh, boys aren't gross. They're kind of nice. Cool.
My awakening was like 50% Casper and 50% Nick Carter from the Millennium album.
Yeah. See, I was an Aaron Carter kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm judging you a lot.
You should. I'm not.
But, you know, the thing you'll notice is that both Nick Carter and Human Casper have the same haircut.
Yes. And I actually...
That bowl cut, man, did okay, something to
this
me.
This is the thing. Freaking, I never liked the bowl cut boys. I liked the messy hair blonde boys.
No, but see, freaking, like, so many of the bowl cut boys for me. Casper, Nick Carter, Max from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, were you a Draco girl?
100%.
See, I was not at all.
100%.
Absolutely not. That is the one... Like, here's the thing. I like all the toxic boys, but the fact that I never had a crush on Draco is, like, my one it's over Anakin, I have the high ground moment in my entire life.
I guess I can't judge you for Kylo Ren anymore. But you know...
No, you can't.
No, you know what? You know what?
Draco was a child.
Draco was a literal child who never killed anybody. And
I guess you're right. He never did kill anybody.
He never killed anybody. He couldn't go through with it with Dumbledore, and he almost had a nervous breakdown at the sheer thought of killing Dumbledore.
No, but
Kylo Ren definitely killed people.
Here's what I will hold above you, though. Figures like Kylo Ren and original Avengers film Loki are cartoonish bad guys. Whereas Draco Malfoy... is a real world asshole.
Yeah. I don't like cartoonish bad boys.
Though. I love them. Like, and it's because they're so heightened and exaggerated.
Yeah.
And the real world ones, I'm like, oh no, you hit too close to home.
That's why I didn't like Loki that much until like the Loki TV show, because suddenly he became this like sad boy who was just like complicated and had a lot of daddy issues. I mean, he was always kind of that, but that's what he was in the first Thor
movie. That's what
he
is in the first Thor movie.
And I really liked him in the first
Thor movie. I also really liked him in the first Thor movie. So there's some overlap there.
There's a little overlap, but yeah, I definitely like, I don't know. I enjoy like, you know, this is gonna, I'm about to reveal something about myself that's gonna like make people judge me. So I'm reading.
We're here to talk trash, baby.
I'm rereading Frankenstein right now.
Oh, yeah.
I have such a crush on the monster.
It's okay, baby.
I have such a crush on the monster. It's okay. I'm so in love with him. He's killed so many people. Yeah. And I'm always like, he's just misunderstood.
But he's so poetic in the novel.
And he is really sad.
He is a sad boy.
He's really sad.
Yep.
I love him. That's my breed of sad boy.
Yeah. I'm like, currently reading Picture of Dorian Gray, and he is not my breed of
bad boy. No, he's just a bad boy.
He's just awful.
He's just a bad person.
So, I knew Casper was going to lead us down this train, because Casper is, for so many girls, like, this original crush.
Casper was definitely...
Hey, quick question, backtracking in the conversation here, and I don't know why I'm realizing this now. You said Max from Hocus Pocus. Did you mean that? Or did you mean,
Thackeray Binks?
Thackeray Binks.
The answer is both.
Oh, see, only Thackeray Binks does it for me!
Thackeray Binks!
What took thee so long? Sorry, Emily. I had to wait 300 years for a virgin to light a candle.
Can we talk about the fact that for the first couple minutes of the film, Thackeray Binks is McGee from NCIS. I think about that all the time.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I can't wait for us to watch that movie together.
Me too.
Okay,
I'm excited.
So let's get into Casper so we can get Hocus Pocus quicker.
Oh, alrighty. God. Well, without further ado,
Casper.
The spooky ghost. Is it spooky ghost?
It's a friendly ghost.
I'm sorry. I knew that in the back of my mind, but I thought it was a different word in the first line of the theme song than I thought it got... Never mind. Casper!
Oh, one last fun fact about this film before we start. Sorry. Guess who did the music for this movie? I'm like 90% sure that this is true. I will double check this and confirm after.
This isn't a Hans Zimmer film, is it?
No, it might even be better.
I have no idea.
James Horner.
Who did...
Titanic.
Oh!
Yeah. That James Horner.
Is it weird that doesn't surprise me? And maybe it's just the utter 90s-ness of both of those movies?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of checks. Let me double check. I want to make sure. But yeah, I will let y'all know when we return.
Alrighty.
So
let's have a friendly spooky time. Ooh. Okay.
Hey Lizzie.
Uh-huh. No.
Can I keep you?
Okay, hot take before we start this whole thing. I don't like that catchphrase.
Aww.
I think it's kind of creepy.
I get it.
It's
so romantic.
I get it. Not my thing.
It's, 9-year-old me was in love.
It's five.
Actually, 5-year-old me was in love. I was so young the first time I saw this movie. I was only 3 when this movie came out.
And I totally get it. That whole scene with Casper absolutely would have floated my boat when I was younger. And it's still, there's still a little, aww.
The little nod where she's, not 100% sure it's him.
Yeah.
And he leans in and says it again. And then she's like, Casper? And she hugs him so tight.
That was cute.
And he gets to be human for just a few minutes.
Yeah. It was cute.
So should we do the good, the bad, the ugly?
Yeah. I guess I will do the bad first.
Okay.
You read in the beginning that the biggest comment was that the plot was meandering, and I do have to agree with that. I feel like they had certain plot beats, climactic ones that they knew they had to hit, and how they actually got to those endings, they didn't really care about.
Right.
So, the dad's friendship with the ghosts, they're all harassing him, and then in the next scene they're out drinking and they're besties. And I didn't understand how that happened.
Yeah.
Or, and same thing with Casper and Kat's friendship, she screams because he's a ghost, but then, in the next scene, he's carrying her off to a lighthouse and they're having deep, intimate conversations. So, I couldn't really track.
I disagree with you on that point. I think the one about the three ghosts and the dad is completely valid. But I feel like, she's scared of him, she screams, but then she knows he's there. And she walks in, he's making breakfast, and he kind of charms her.
It just felt like there was, one scene missing.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, I think the thing with this film is that, to me, one of the biggest problems is they spend a lot of time developing a villain who is really fun, but who they get rid of pretty early in the film.
Yes.
So then you kind of feel like the actual plot is about Casper, remembering things and finding happiness with Kat and their relationship. That's the actual emotional core of the film.
There could have been a better way to tie in, the bad guys and the bad guy plot.
Agreed.
There was also the subplot about that was purely there for them to have the party at her house.
Yeah.
We really didn't need the mean girl. Which it kind of felt like the not like other girls trope to me. I'm the mean blonde girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna have the party at my boathouse? What do you mean we're not? I don't know. It just felt, I get the mean kid trope.
I feel like they could have had the plot point of somebody being like, hey, Kat lives in that creepy house and we are down a place to have the Halloween party. What if we had it at her place? I feel like that plot point could have been reached without the subplot with the mean blonde girl and the cute boy who's taking advantage of Kat.
And everyone in her class is mean.
They could have literally gotten there without that plot point.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, I don't know, I've never been a big fan, and maybe it's because I didn't move a lot as a child, but I've never been a big fan of the conflict being moving to a new town.
Mm-hmm.
I think this story would have worked just as well if she and her father grew up in this town and they mm-hmm. were the weird, like, you know, the ghost therapist and his daughter, but now they've moved into the big creepy house in town. And then she
even if they weren't directly from the town, if they were, like, from the next town over and moved into the big house. Like, they didn't have to move all the way across country.
She doesn't need to be in a new school. And then it's a flex that she's like, yeah, my dad and I live in the most haunted house in town. And then it becomes like, is she going to be cool now? Like, I think that would have been way more interesting. And I don't know. I just hate the, like, the only conflict that a lot of movie writers seem to be able to think of for children is mm-hmm. moving to a new town, which, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
that's, like, a legitimate hurdle to overcome, but, like, kids have other problems, too. And especially,
you know what, though?
A kid who
you
lost a parent.
That. You say that, but from personal experience, I do, like, a tutoring thing where I particularly work with seniors doing college essays.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone that comes to me is like, so I'm writing about how I moved 10 times as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell them that that's a bad topic. So, like, to children, that is genuinely the worst thing that's ever happened to them. Like,
okay,
that's, like, 90% of who their identity is. I'm the kid who moved a lot.
Fair, but Kat's mom died.
Right.
And I feel like exploring the identity of, you know, not even, like, it being a recent death, but mm-hmm. the identity of, that's the girl whose mom died.
Yeah.
And that being something that defines her. Just mm-hmm. would have been...
There are a lot of different ways they could have refined... This movie feels like a movie, to me, that has some of the best beats in a movie I've seen, but they're thrown together. You're right in that they're thrown together in a way that's kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know what they wanted it to be. And so they're trying to connect it with the glue that, you know, it's like trying to use, like, Elmer's glue on a project that needs wood glue.
I feel like there's a charming story here, but it did not feel super well written. There were a couple of really awkward lines and jokes, and not just lines and jokes that didn't age well, which there absolutely were.
We'll talk about this.
We'll talk about those in a second. But like the bad lady at the beginning, like, grabbing Kat's face and turning her back and forth.
That was weird.
It was weird, and it was like, is this supposed to be like, oh, look at this relatable teenager thing that's happening? No, there was not a lot of relatability. I just found a couple of, the writing was the most disappointing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jokes that didn't age well. The bad forced Ghostbusters cameo was bad.
Mm-hmm.
The Mel Gibson cameo didn't age great.
No. In their defense, this film came out way before it was common knowledge that Mel Gibson was a horrible person.
But
which I don't know if the people who made this film knew that Mel Gibson was a horrible person, in which case, you know, they shouldn't have had him in there in the first place. But, you know, I mean, it was 95.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, it was just one of those where you're like, oh, hey, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, looking back on it, you're like, oh, no.
The one where I screamed bloody murder in the middle of the movie. And
this was so bad.
You can attest to this, too. Fatso, which, first off, there's a ghost named Fatso.
Because he's fat?
Because he's fat.
Now, granted, I will say that the other two are called Stinky and Stretch. Stretch because he's tall and skinny, and Stinky because he's stinky. So, like, none of their names, all of the names are descriptive of
fair,
them.
But there's not, like, tall phobia or stinky phobia.
Exactly. That's fair.
So,
that's fair.
And... But Fatso sits down to eat breakfast and is shoveling food in his mouth and says, I feel like Oprah on hiatus. And I just screamed. I just screamed and turned to Liv and went, fat Oprah jokes? Did they just make a fat Oprah joke?
Can we talk about the fact, too, that, like, I had no memory of that joke. And I clearly didn't understand it when I was little. Because when I was little, all I knew about Oprah is that she was the lady on the TV who was, like, super famous and super cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought about her and went, oh, she's fat. I was like, oh, no. She interviewed the Harry Potter characters, and that's the only thing that matters to me in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It was just so...
Yeah, it was one of those, very much dated it.
Yes, definitely.
Speaking of jokes that you said you didn't get, there's a whole part where her dad, like, looks like he's about to have, like, the birds and the bees talk with her.
Oh!
And she says, I think it's a little too late for that. And he
His eyes get
falters.
Real big.
He goes, how late? And she's like, oh, not that late. And
I did not get that when I was a kid.
Well, and I hadn't watched it when I was a kid, so I was just like, oh, that's kind of a weird line to throw in there.
And I was like, oh.
Poor young Christina Ricci making this really awkward joke.
Do you ever feel like, just in general, when you go back and watch 90s movies, you're like, what?
Well, okay, this movie was what, PG? And I was surprised that one of the ghosts said, what the hell, a couple of times.
Oh, they said, but then
they said bitch at least two or three times.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? That was something that I realized the other day. So, what is this movie rated?
There's no way it's PG-13. They would never have made it PG-13.
No, it's so not. It's not PG-13.
It's gotta be PG.
It's PG. But you know what? Let me mention another
one. Swears used to be a lot more acceptable in PG films.
And for real. And so... Hold on one second. I was gonna look up... Yeah, okay. So, the movie Beetlejuice...
Uh-huh.
They straight up... He just drops an F-bomb in the middle of the movie. I was rewatching it, and I was like, this movie used to come on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw Beetlejuice when I was like... It came out in 88, so I think the first time I saw it, I was probably 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up with that movie. And then, like, the things he was saying, like, there were stripper jokes.
Yeah.
There were, like, very sexual innuendos. There, like, all kinds of stuff that, like, as a kid, I just didn't get. And I feel like that was very much a 90s thing, like, making, like, kid-friendly movies that had, like, very adult humor in them.
80s were about making kid movies that scared the living daylights out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 90s came along and it became, let's make as many adult jokes in them as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie kind of towed that awkward line
mm-hmm.
of, you know, adult jokes in a kid's movie, but for the most part, they kind of... They slid under the rug.
Right.
But it also... Okay. I am not comparing these two movies because this movie is superior by far. But it kind of quested for Camelot a little bit in the awkward reaching for the genie humor with the three ghosts. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes they... When they first show up, they're, like, wearing chains and they have their racing... like paraphernalia, and I'm like, this is our introduction to these three ghosts, is them in an alternate outfit than what they usually wear, and it felt very much like we're trying to have like a some sort of cultural
everyone's
reference.
Everyone's trying to like Robin Williams,
and it doesn't
everything. And
doesn't
part
work.
Of part of what I think is missing is that like Genie was written to be Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And so the impressions are a part of Robin Williams' comedy, and so they naturally fit.
Yeah.
But then when you make other actors who don't necessarily do impressions all the time try to do impressions all the time, it just gets super awkward.
Well, and speaking of super awkward, on that note, I also said to you at one point, so, like, the introduction of the ghosts with Casper is they start playing Casper like an orc, accordion, and then they shoot him up to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that CG has aged much better than it did in 1995. I thought for 95 it didn't look too bad. But there's something about that really elasticy, cartoony slapstick gags
mm-hmm.
that works so much better in 2D than it does in 3D.
I think it even would work better if the film was all 3D. But I think the reason 3D doesn't work in general is because it is trying to emulate real life to a degree. And, Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's trying to emulate real life, and especially in a movie like this, where it is accepted that these ghosts exist in the real human world.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes weird when they do things like yeah. that. Places where it works well is like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where toons are still, you know, 2D animated, but they also are accepted as this strange part of the human world. There's the human world and the toon world, and they intersect.
Yeah.
You know? But these are supposed to be ghosts that are the natural product of the human world.
Yeah. I thought that there, for like as close to the original cartoon as Casper looked, there was something kind of awkward about his movements and mm-hmm. his face was always twitching, and sometimes he'd try and look like cheeky and it just looked kind of odd, and
yeah.
his lips didn't always match with what he was saying, and it didn't look like they had redubbed anything. It mm-hmm. just looked like the animation yeah. wasn't quite on point mm-hmm. with that. So yeah, I thought the script was okay. It just needed, some of the jokes were awkward and some mm-hmm. of the pacing was weird, and the cartoony gags yeah. didn't super work for me.
I almost want like a redone version of Casper with like all the good beats, clean up the story a little bit, and have modern CGI.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I thought the performances were fine. Like Pullman's a charming dad. I didn't really like his interactions with the three ghosts, but I also just didn't like the three ghosts. But I liked the dad. Christina Ricci was fine, especially for her age, all things
she's
considered.
She's a great little actress for her age, especially considering that she's like 12 or 13.
Yeah. I love Eric Idle and anything that Eric Idle's in, so even though he
even
had a small
performance.
Even in
Quest for Camelot?
No, not that one. Not that one. But he would do really dumb things, like when the little razors are coming at him and he screams and he starts karate chopping them with his hands like an idiot. I thought it was really funny. I'll get into things
what
I
was
thought
the
was...
the joke that absolutely killed
okay,
you?
Okay, so I'll transition into the good things okay. now. I thought the slapstick in this movie was actually very well done
mm-hmm.
and very funny. Even though it did make me laugh out loud, like, I loved Bill Pullman rolling down the stairs in a carpet, and I actually really thought it was cute when he was, like, sword fighting with a plunger. It was
charming.
A little hokey, but it was charming.
It's fun.
I laughed when Eric Idle karate chopped the knives. I laughed when the mean girl absolutely clotheslined. So she's on the guy's shoulders and they're running out of the party because they saw a ghost, who, by the way, appeared in a mirror, even though it was established earlier in the film that ghosts don't have
the
reflections.
The ghost's logic is so confusing.
It's awful.
In this film.
It
like, sometimes
sense.
They can go through things, sometimes they can't, sometimes
yeah.
human hands go through them, sometimes they don't. None of it makes sense. I don't understand.
Yep. It was odd.
Mm-hmm.
So they're running out, and she gets absolutely clotheslined by a party decoration and then gets dragged out on her back. It's hysterical. The part that killed me, the part where I laughed out loud screaming, and I can't remember the last time I laughed this hard, was when the villain bad woman, I don't remember her mm-hmm. name, she crashes
Kerrigan
crashes her car into a tree and the airbag goes off, and she's been trying to kill the other bad guy, and the other bad guy's trying to kill her because one of them needs to be a ghost to go get the treasure.
There's a vault, and they realize that if one of them is a ghost, they can get into the vault by just passing through
yeah,
it. They don't have to have a key
or anything.
And
then they think they'll be able to magically resurrect with the resurrection machine, which...
The Lazarus.
It's always called a Lazarus something, because no one can think of any other allusions to resurrections.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to kill each other, and I actually thought that whole scene was really funny. Like, she's chasing him around the house with an axe, and he's trying to, like, get her to slip on the floor. Like, again, all those pratfalls were, like, cute.
Mm-hmm.
She crashes her car, and it's obviously not hard enough to kill her, so she's pushing the airbag down, and she's getting out of the car to get angry. She steps out of the car, and she falls off a cliff. And you see the car park. guess it's because I was watching it and I thought, yeah, she can get out of her car and get on the cliff, and then I guess something's going to come up behind her and she's going to go, whoa, and fall over. But no, she just opens her door and falls out. And I don't know why. It was the funniest
thing. It's so good.
Oh my gosh, I was screaming. So, and I'm not usually a slapstick person, but something about it in this movie was just really charming and funny. And I thought it worked way better than any of the verbal jokes in this movie.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Yeah, worth watching this movie, if only for that one scene. That was so funny. Other things that I like, I already said I liked Christina Ricci's performance. The whole scene at the end where Casper gets his Cinderella moment was really cute.
Isn't it so cute?
If I were 8, I would have been absolutely smitten.
Right?
He's dressed as a little pirate or something.
Well, and he's not dressed as a pirate. He died in the 1900s. Oh, those are his clothes. Those are his clothes.
Wow, I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Cool, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cute. And then I think the other thing I said I liked, I didn't mention this while we were watching it, but the soundtrack is really great. It's
James Horner.
It's just very sweet.
Killing it as always.
Yep. Casper's
lullaby is so pretty.
It's pretty. I think the thing that I appreciated the most about this movie was the practical sets and the house itself. First off, when they get to Friendship, Maine, it's like the most gorgeous scenery in the world. It's like the only town I think is more picturesque as that is the one from Hocus Pocus. Like all these Northeast United States fall towns.
Hocus Pocus was actually filmed in Salem, Massachusetts, right?
I do know that, actually. I have actually visited the house that What's-Her-Face lives in.
Yeah, I've walked by it before. I went on a ghost tour, and they were like, by the way, this is where they filmed. And I was like, oh my god, this one scene from Hocus Pocus. And I like knew all of it. And the tour guys were looking at me like I was an idiot.
It's great. That is amazing.
It's really fun.
I really appreciated the practical set. I thought the like wake me up chair was a little gimmicky, but at the same time it was clearly hand built. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All of these really hokey, creepy sets are clearly done by hand.
They're beautiful.
It's nice. It's nice to watch something where the ghosts are CG, but the setting is real and it feels grounded and it feels like it's out of a cartoon. Like,
yeah.
It looks like something out of a Casper cartoon or a Scooby-Doo movie. And I just really appreciate that. I turned to you at one point and I was like, oh my gosh, look at those big creepy fish heads on the banister that have no business being there. But they're just there. What do you want?
I want like a all practical Casper. Like, you know who could figure out a way to do it?
Who?
Like Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, like I just want him to do all my favorite ghost stories.
I think that it made me miss movies with practical effects, and I feel like this is a movie that lends itself to that because it's supposed to be hokey and cartoony. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like it's so much cheaper now to do, you know, big green screens, and I think we're moving away from like the green screens now, and now we're kind of moving into this like, you know, projected image background phase. Like you see some of the technology they're using now, and it's really cool, like, where the actors are acting in front of a screen that has, like, this massive background. But it's nice when there's a big creepy house to see a big creepy house. I really appreciated it in Knives Out. So it's cool when there's sets like that, and it was cute to see it here.
I think especially for movies like this, where the house itself is kind of a character. Like Rebecca, where the house is a character, like Knives Out, or really any other big haunted thing that you can think of. I think having those practical sets is really important there. Like Crimson Peak, most of that is a practical set.
Yes.
And again, it's to me, it's because the house itself is a character.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you're watching The Avengers and somebody blows up a building, that building's not a character. You don't have to have it there. But when it is such an integral part to the story itself, I think there's something about having it be a real physical building.
Yeah. And you can tell from the exterior that it's not a real physical building, because I said at one point, I'm like, oh, this house is, like, really weird. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't like how it didn't fit in with the rest of the landscape. Mm-hmm. But it was cute.
I kind of like how it stands out.
It was just a little too big. Like, if it was, like, a story shorter, it would be like, oh, that's the weird, quirky house. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was, this is a giant, massive...
This is the house. This is the haunted house of the eccentric builder from the early 1900s.
Yeah.
All the other homes from the early 1900s are probably gone. In our little
New England...
Or they're in a New England style, but this one's weird because he was a kooky, eccentric... Yeah. Builder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Too quick. I apologize for going back to things that bother me. Two quick things that bother me. One, what is Casper's unfinished business? Why is he still there by the end of this film? I don't know why that bothers me so much, but I kept waiting for them to say something about, like, I thought when the mother appeared, she was going to be like, you have a new task. Watch over my little girl or something. Mm-hmm. Because he was there to keep his father company, and his father's gone, so what's the point?
And clearly, you know, I think he kind of said at one point that, like, part of his unfinished business was just that he never got to grow up.
Oh.
So there's all these experiences that he just never got to have, and that kind of bugged him.
Interesting.
I think he said that, but it was during the part, where my husband was playing League of Legends so loud and screaming that we couldn't hear. And I had to go up.
Bless you.
I had to go up and get on to him for a minute.
To be fair, he also came down here and said, what were you screaming about? And it was the fat Oprah joke. The one other thing, this was hilarious. So the ghost flies into the vault. And she flies out with ye old treasure chest that's, like, teeny tiny. And she's like, ah, ha, 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 the treasure is mine. Well, then they use clever wordplay to get rid of the ghost. And once they do that, it falls and it opens up. And clearly there's not, like, gold and jewels spilling out. And before you saw what was in it, I said out loud, I said, oh, they better not Richie Rich this. They better not Richie Rich this, because no one will ever do it better than Richie Rich.
I've never seen Richie Rich.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I didn't quite get that reference. I just nodded and pretended like I did.
That's hilarious to me. I don't really like Richie Rich, so I'm probably not ever going to show it to you here. So, spoilers for the one good joke from Richie Rich.
Okay.
Richie Rich had Macaulay Culkin, and he was a little rich kid, and... His parents are very sweet people. They love him dearly, but they're always, you know, off at work. And they have this big, like, Mount Rushmore style carving of their family behind their property. And that is the vault where the Richie Rich's treasure is kept. And the whole movie, someone's trying to break into the vault, but it's voice activated by the parents. So... you know, Richie Rich goes on all his adventures. He's trying to make friends, whatever. No one cares. The parents get kidnapped and brought to the vault. And they have to sing some sort of, like, old, like, hokey song together to open the vault. And it's kind of cute. But they open the vault and he comes in and it's like, ba-da-da! He's like, I've done it! And he steps inside. And it's full of photo albums and Richie's childhood toys and family memorabilia. And he's like, what the hell is this? And they're like, oh, these are our treasures. These are where we keep the things that are most important to us. And he's like, the money. Where's the money? And they're like, oh, banks, stocks, and investments. We don't keep the physical money here. That would be absolutely stupid. And he's like, shoot them both. Like, he's just so done. But it's the best joke in the world.
They didn't quite Richie Rich it, but they sort of Richie
Rich. And now, to be fair, I don't know if Richie Rich came out before or after this. I think it came out before this.
I will find out while you continue your thought.
In the treasure chest was, like, he's like, it's my old baseball and glove. And it's signed by somebody. I'm sure it's actually valuable.
Richie Rich came out the year before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some, like, player from, like,
the Dodgers?
Brooklyn Dodgers from, like, the early turn of the century.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, you know, he's like, oh, it's just my baseball. And she's like, it's just the baseball. And he's like, well, it's not any baseball. It's signed by this guy. But now, and I was literally, I looked over at Lizzie and I was like, if that ball is like 100 years old, signed by a long dead baseball player that was famous back in the day, it would be worth bank now.
It would be.
That thing would be so valuable. Also, though, speaking of valuable, there's this like red MacGuffin fuel, like liquid fuel.
Oh, like the primordial ooze
that fuels the Lazarus machine.
Yes, this bothered me a lot.
That can turn that can turn ghosts back into humans.
Yeah,
to living, breathing humans. And like, Carradine is like, I'm gonna go and turn my boyfriend into a ghost. I'm gonna kill him and let him be a ghost. And then of course she ends up killing herself on accident and becoming a ghost. And then she's like, as a ghost, I'm gonna sneak into the vault, I'm gonna steal the treasure, it's great. And then I'll just turn myself back into a human using the Lazarus machine. And it's like, you have a literal machine that can resurrect people from the dead. Like, just take the plans for that machine and like find somebody to like patent it.
Yeah.
And then just sell it.
Yep.
You would be set for life.
Yep.
And then afterwards as well.
Like, yeah. That really bothered me, because when she took it, I thought, oh, that's clever. You're gonna sell this instead. This is worth way more than any treasure. But then they're like, we can get into the vault. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, still, that part was bad.
Still worth it for the best slapstick death I have ever seen on
film.
Still
really, really
that
good.
That was really so good. Funny. So I guess final thoughts from me. It's like a cute, charming family film. Am I gonna rush off and see it again? Probably not. If I had kids, would I show it to them? Yeah, probably. Like, cute little Halloween movie.
Yeah.
I guess my final verdict on it is, seven out of 10 chimes on 10 o'clock.
Okay.
6.5.
Okay. I give this, I would say 2.5 out of 3, creepy uncles.
Yeah, fair.
Creepy ghost uncles.
I kind of want to know how the uncles died. I'm really curious about that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And who were they in relation to Casper and his family?
Yeah. Did they die of Casper's fever? That might be the source of some resentment.
Yeah, that might explain why they treat him so terribly.
I wanted to know what their unfinished business was too, to be honest.
Yeah, that's like, a good point.
Like, I kept waiting for Bill Pullman to actually like therapize them and
therapize?
Is that a word?
I feel like that's not a word.
Probably not.
I feel like therapize is not a thing.
I'm actually, okay, you know the real reason why I want to see this remade? I want to see this remade in the year of our Lord 2020, when most people have at least some working knowledge of therapy, or at least the significance of mental health. Like, and I want to see how a ghost therapist is actually treated. I'm really curious.
Yeah, that's funny, because I feel like people would be like way more accepting of a ghost therapist nowadays. Maybe not. Not
the
completely.
Ghost part, but like, but I feel like part
of... I don't
of,
know. I feel like there's a lot of like weird, like, you know, like spiritual...
I agree with that. I just
belief
also,
kind of popping up, you know.
I just also think that the idea of... I think part of the humor of this in the movie is the idea... It's supposed to be like, oh, he's a quack ghost doctor, but he's also a therapist. And right. I'm curious to see...
That punchline doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore.
Everyone is like... Like, literally, like, before you got here, I was, like, talking to my therapist, like, hey.
Yeah. It's normalized now.
It's so normal, and it's so... It's considered, like, a good thing now.
Yeah.
Like, everyone wants... The complaints with therapists these days are, like, man, my insurance doesn't cover it. Or, I want a therapist, but none of them that I want to go to fit my schedule. You know? Yeah. Most people aren't, like, oh, therapists are quacks. Like...
Yeah.
It's always a very different...
It's much more nuanced.
Right.
I did not think I would be ending this saying, I would want to see a modern adaptation of Casper. How is this interpreted
in, right.
Right, in this current popular age?
I think it would be fun to see this, like, you know, with good CGI and good practical effects.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of potential here. I think, again, this is one of those movies that makes me really understand where a lot of my kind of, like, romantic values in film came from.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I love this film. And I hope, you know, if anyone who listens to our podcast actually goes and watches the movies that we watch on here,
I'd be really curious.
I hope that someone out there could find some beauty in Casper, because it is, you know what? It is an old film. It has not aged perfectly. It has some pretty substantial issues, particularly in the CGI department. Not gonna lie, the ghosts are kind of terrifying looking. By modern standards, but I think there's a lot to love here. And I think the little kid who does the voice of Casper is, like, so wonderful.
He's cute.
He's so cute, and it's so easy, especially, I think, as a child, to just absolutely fall in love with Casper.
Mm.
There's something about him that just, like, I remember growing up and just desperately wanting a ghost best friend.
Mm.
And I think there's something about kind of the message of, like, loneliness and then finding someone who's willing to just, like, accept you and get to know you and connect with you when no one else will, that I think works still and resonates. And I think, you know, every lonely kid out there needs a Casper.
Mm-hmm.
Or a cat.
That's very sweet.
Yeah. Cat being the girl's name, not
a cat.
I mean, go get you a pet cat if you want one, you know, but, like, anyways, I think I ruined my poignant moment.
That was beautiful.
So, Lizzie, what are we watching next week?
Well, okay, so I've never done this before, but I'm keeping it up in the air between two films now, and I will explain why. So, if I am showing you, like, a childhood Halloween movie, then I will be showing you my dopey animated film from, like, later childhood, but I had such nostalgia with these characters growing up that I feel like I'm warranted in doing this. I would be showing you the Wallace and Gromit feature-length film, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Okay.
However, you told me that you have never seen Wallace and Gromit, which is amazing to me.
My knowledge of Wallace and Gromit, it, like, I'll have to find the TikTok.
Grew up on Wallace and Gromit.
That's so funny.
And it's one of those, like, some people really hate claymation and it creeps them out.
I don't hate it. I see objectively that there is a beauty in it. It does kind of give me the heebie-jeebies.
I think it works really well for this film. However, before I show you that, I figure I should show you, like, one of the Wallace and Gromit shorts. And if you think that that is funny, then we move on. And if you don't think it's funny, then
we'll watch.
It won't really be worth it. And if we're watching something different, I'm wary to do this because the last time I recommended a film that neither of us had seen, as you know, it was horrible. However,
I mean, knock on wood, there is nothing that you can recommend that will be worse than Jupiter Ascending.
God willing. I've really wanted to watch the House on Haunted Hill. It looks like it's a very mystery science theater riff tractable film. I literally just looked up skeleton gifs movie. Like, I searched for a while because I saw like little brief snippets of it and I thought, what is this? This looks hilarious. So yeah, if that doesn't sound good, we will do that one.
Okay.
And maybe regardless, that would either be something that we ended the month with, or we could do that just some other time when we want a dumb spooky film that we haven't seen. Yeah. So, haven't done this before, keeping it up in the air, keeping our options open.
We'll see how it goes.
We will let you know.
See how it goes.
Wow, I think we made it this whole time with no ghost puns until that.
I feel dirty.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry.
I'll find it in my heart to forgive you.
The embarrassment from that pun will really haunt me.
That one was a little better. I will give you credit.
Thanks.
Of all the puns we could have used with Casper. Oh, man. Ghoul, please. We need to go to sleep.
We do. God, I'm tired.
Yep. We will talk to you all next time.
I'm trying to think of one last ghost pun.
Oh, bye-bye.
Oh, that was terrible. Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!